Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Welcome back to our tour through Tefillah. And we are now on page 466 in an Askol Siddur, which is in Musaf for Shabbos, in Tikanta Shabbos. And we've already got through to the words Rotzitza Korban Aseha we discussed about. Tzivisa Parashaha, you commanded us regarding its showbreads. Im Sidurei Nesocheha, and the order of its libations. What's going on with these libations? We need to discuss what's going on. What's happening there? So that's essentially where we're holding. We are at the words Nesocheha. Sidurei Nesocheha, the order of its, a Nesach is literally a libation. And a libation is any, now this is key, Rabbi, so I get this straight, it's any poured offering. Now I'm being very careful with my words. It doesn't have to be liquid. Anything you that is pourable is called Nesach. It's called, as we're going to discuss at length now. Obviously things like oil and wine and water, when they are used in the temple as part and parcel of its libationness. God, bury it under something very, very soundproof. Anyone listening on a tape has no idea. We've just removed a very, very loud clock from the, which is going to alarm any minute, and it really, really disturbs us. Okay. Obviously wine and oil and things like that are clearly things which are libations because you pour them. But I've got news for you. Any fine powder which is poured, and there were such things we're going to discuss, are also called a libation. Essentially, if you pour it, it's a libation. Okay, yeah. Because we don't actually give, the blood is not considered part and parcel of, sometimes, you're right, sometimes we do actually pour blood. Yeah, I guess if it's poured, then it'd be part and parcel of an application of part of the Korban, which would fall under the concept of a poured concept, which we're going to discuss now. So instead of me saying we're going to discuss it now, let's discuss it now. The Rekeach says that while the Shabbos Korbanos are explained in full detail in the Torah, and in explicit references to Shabbos, the libations that accompany these sacrifices are not mentioned with regard to Shabbos, but they're discussed in general in Parsha Shalach Lecha, where the various libations are described. This is why they're singled out here. Now, there are four differences that I have for you tonight as to what's going on with what Nesocheha or Nesach means here. So strap in, here we go, number one. Number one is the Makor HaTefillah. And he says that Nesocheha, its libations, specifically refers to the wine libations that accompany the Korban Musaf, not the Korban Mincha, because those are usually called Nesachim. So he's saying here, understanding Pshat 1 and its libations is the wine libation that goes along with the Korban Musaf. That's opinion one. Opinion two, the Levush says that Nesachim refer to are not the libations, nor even the Korban Mincha, as those are actually part of the sacrifice itself, which is why you wouldn't say blood either, because blood is actually part of the main korban. It's not an additional libation. You don't get a jar of blood and then pour it out. You do that as part of the korban. It is the korban along with its blood. You don't pour it out as a separate libation. You don't get a jar of blood separately with no animal. Here we're talking about a jar of wine or a jar of oil or a jar of other things, which I'm going to discuss with you. I don't want to give the game away. Of other things that you would pour out, and that would be considered a libation. So he says the concept of Nesocheha, libations, this is the Levush, says it's the Lechem Haponim. Now the art scroll is translating the word libations as showbreads. Now that is not straightforward touch, let me tell you that. Nesocheha means and its libations. Its libations, the libation of it. It does not mean big kind of square U-shaped breads. That's not what it means. A showbread is a different thing entirely. Why does it say Lechem upon him? The answer is that according to the Levush, the Nesachim that are being referred to are the Lechem Eponim and not regular libations, which is way outside of regular Pshat here. Now, the word Nesach can either apply to the boards that supported the rods, which supported the loaves. Now, you need to have a bit of a picture of what the Shulchan looked like. Essentially, it was a table, and then there were four big boards that came out the side that were mounted on there, and they're made of acacia wood, plated in gold, and they had little cutouts with a chisel. You make a little hole, and you between the boards, you put these half slat, almost like bamboo cut in half, like a semicircular rod, and you kind of click those rods into the little nooks that you've made in the boards, and they make essentially trays, and you put the Lechem Eponim on those rods. Well, yes, that's correct, but they weren't actually touching each other because they were sitting on these rods. And what were the rods on? The rods were embedded in these two boards, which were affixed to the side of the table. So you had like a table like that, and then there were four boards coming out the side. And then in between the boards, there was this network of rods, and that's where you'd actually place the two rows of six loaves. So far, so good. Let's talk about the boards. The boards were called Katsais HaNesech. They were called the boards of Nesech. Hence the term Nesocheha. It's boards, literally, is referring to the whole thing with the Shulchan, not to do with the libation. Or it could refer to the two ladles of frankincense which were put into the two top loaves. Some say it was two flasks of frankincense put at the bottom by the two loaves. But most pictures you'll see, especially by Rashi, is you've got two rows of six loaves, essentially. Then in the top, there's a ladle in the top of each of the two ones filled with lavona, powdered frankincense, which is a tree resin, a white, aromatic, beautiful smelling tree resin, which you can still buy today as frankincense.
Frankincense.
Very nice. So what you do is you grind up the lavona and you pour it into the two ladles which sit in the top two loaves on this whole structure on the table.
Those now, when... Loaves, sorry,
the ladles sat in the top two. Now, what you did is you put the ladles in and then you poured the lavona into them. That's the pouring. According to this, when you pour, it's such a fine powder, you would literally pour it from a flask into the ladles. Are you with me on this? Mm-hmm. So he says that when they were poured as a fine powder, that's similar to a libation because it's pouring. Once you've poured it, it's considered a libation. And it's back to the word nesocheha, which means it's libations. And we're specifically talking about the libation of the Shulchan's Lechem Haponim, as opposed to the Mincha or the Musaf. He is translating it according to this concept of the Nevush, that it's talking about the Lechem Eponim, as opposed to the Mincha, which would make more sense, or even most sense, the Musaf, which is what we're davening about. That's kind of really left of field to be talking about that, but that is how Art Scroll translates it. The Ion Tefillah says that the flour of the loaves themselves is called a nesech because the flour is poured out. It's also, flour is also, when it's poured, similar to a liquid in this case. Obviously, it's clearly not a liquid. It's a very, very, very fine powder. But when you pour it out as you would a liquid into a container. And that could also be the nesech of the showbreads or of the mincha, which is just fine flour. So that's the concept of a libation being something which is poured. So far, so good? Making sense? Excellent. Okay. I can't do anything without Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch. So I've got to turn to Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch because he's awesome. Thank you. Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch says, why are the Lechem Eponim singled out for mention in Musaf on Shabbos? The Lechem Eponim were given every Erev Shabbos. Why at Musaf, when I should only be technically talking about the Korban Musaf, Are you starting to mention? Look, Nesach, I would want it to be the wine of the Korban Musaf. That makes perfect sense to me. Here's the Korban Musaf. Here's its wine. Here's the tefillah of Musaf in lieu of the Korban Musaf. Just let's talk about the Musaf, keep things straight. Why am I having to turn around saying the Nesach is referring to the boards of the Shulchan or the pouring of the Lavona, the frankincense in the ladles of the Lechem Aponim, or the pouring of the flour of the Lechem Aponim? Why are you bringing up the Lechem Aponim at Korban Musaf on Shabbos? You've clearly made an error, it would seem.
No.
He says that Hashem commanded the mitzvah of Shabbos, as well as the korbanos that symbolize our homage to Him as creator of the universe, which specifically is why we keep Shabbos, to remember the fact that Hashem created the universe. By proper observance of Shabbos, we rest from all our activities as if to say they're really of a divine origin. Because the activities we're doing are only made available and are doable because God has said we could do them when He made an entire universe that we could live in. Hashem has given us a special mitzvah of Lechem Haponim, which must be performed anew each Shabbos. And He instilled with it, actually pushed off the old breads with the new breads. So there was never a moment that the Shulchan was without bread on it. So they literally took the new ones. It took two men to carry the loaves with that big. I once had a baker as a student, and we worked out that there was 8 litres of flour in each loaf. Do you know how big a loaf that makes? You had to have a couple of people take each loaf. That's how big the loaves were. 8 litres of flour is a lot of flour per loaf. You don't ever use that much. You'd need specialist ovens to cope with such a thing, he told me. And you had these young Kohanim literally pushing off the old one, and the other Kohanim were there standing there to catch the old one. It was still as hot on Shabbos as it was last Shabbos when it came out of the oven. It was that hot as a nace. Wow. And the Kohanim would break that apart and eat the Lechem Aponim with the Korbanos that they would eat. There'd be a room where the Kohanim sit down to eat the meat of the Korbanos that they were given. The ones to push off, that's their bread.
They eat just for them.
Yeah, unbelievable. Only for them. Could you imagine being a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, wrapping bread from the Lechem Aponim with from the Korbanos that came off them?
But they
didn't house doctors. It's just unbelievable.
What would you say the effect of eating that?
Like mamish, like man, it's like such a spiritual elevation to eat such a, in such a confine, in Hashem's presence, in the Beis HaMikdash, right there with the Lechem upon him, with hot Lechem upon him from last Shabbos. It's a nace. They're eating a nace because it's still hot from last Shabbos, which is a nace. So they're eating, it's still hot. They're like, and it's still, that's from a week ago. Notice the Lechem Aponim had a din of matzah, i.e. there were unleavened bread. It's like thick, doughy pitters that weren't risen. Big. I got a whole hour shiur about this, about breaking teeth and an ethos, about the concept of the matzah versus bread, and the concept of the whole structure of the Shulchan by Shimshon Raphael Hirsch. If anyone's interested, it is online, but it's an hour. Just talking about the mystical concepts and the Musa that we can learn out from the structure of the Shulchan. But that's not... It's online. Now,
interesting.
Hashem gave us the Mitzvah Lechem upon him, which is done every Shabbos, and He instilled within us the confidence to submit the bread, which is Parnassah. The whole thrust of bread is Parnassah. Puts bread on the table. Money's called dough. Concept of bread is the outcome of Parnassah. And the Ketores, which represents gratifications, which is the incense offering, before Him by loyally performing our duty. Hashem gave us the precept concerning the Nesachim, which the libations, which includes the Minchas Nesachim, which is the Nesachim that accompanies the Mincha offering, which are Nesachim in the broader sense of the word's meaning of the concept of a libation. These drink offerings serve as accompaniments to the animal actual offering itself, which symbolizes our willingness to offer up to God every single need that we have to Him. This includes material goods, prosperity, or even possibly our lives. represented by the flour and oil, and our highest earthly happiness, symbolized by wine. That's why when a satyr gives, she gives barley meal, not wheat meal, because it's fit for animals, and she doesn't get any libation on it, because she's not giving over the beauty and the happiness of life, which is symbolized by wine, because she's there for a very bad reason, and therefore she doesn't merit to be able to give the yain. It's inappropriate for her to libate wine with her korban, because she's not there symbolizing happiness, she's there because of jealousy. So the symbolization of the wine is simcha, that adds in the joy of life. The simcha sachaim, which is symbolized by wine, adds into the matrix of the korban itself. The Balei HaTosfos say the word, interestingly, we said, Sevisa Peirusheha, you commanded us regarding its instructions, in its commentaries. What's that? That doesn't just apply to the Kaponas, but also to Hilcha Shabbos. The Ian Tefillah says that most of the laws of Shabbos are found in explanations of the written law that are in the oral law. It's a commentary. Most of Hilcha Shabbos essentially is a Peirush. The vast majority of Shabbos you would not be able to keep if you just read the written Torah. In fact, you would know very little about it. It says very little about it, apart from the fact that you have to stay within your boundary and you're not allowed to light a fire. Well, that's not very much of Hilcha Shabbos, I've got to tell you. If someone's been teaching Hilcha Shabbos a lot of years, I've got to tell you, it's a lot more than that. Shabbos is very involved, complicated stuff. And the vast majority of it is learnt out from the Torah Shebal Peh. So Peirusheha, its commentaries are the commentaries of Shabbos, which you're not going to know unless you learn it. That's why that's there, according to the Balei HaTosfos. And they explain the word Peirusheha is referring to the prohibitions of Shabbos, what you're meant not to do, in the verse of Shomer Es Yom HaShabbos. Observe the Shabbos day in Devarim, Deuteronomy 5:11. While Sidurei Nesochecha, the order of its libations, refers to the positive mitzvahs of Shabbos, like Kiddush, and honouring and enjoying Shabbos, which you have to go out your way to do, which is hinted to in the verse, Zoche Es Yom HaShabbos, remember the Shabbos day, in Shemos 27. These two components, Shomer and Zoche, were, as we learnt last time, said at once by Hashem, and even when he split up the Seser Dibros, he said all the Seser Dibros is one word, from Anochi all the way through, which is one word, then he went back and gave you the Shir again, word for word. But when he got to Shomer V'Zocher, again he didn't split that up. Shomer V'Zocher is one, that is the word. It's Shomer Zocher. It's one idea. You can't have Shomer without Zocher. It's like Velcro. There's no Vel and Crow. There's no which one's Vel, which one's Crow. It's Velcro. It's one idea. You can't say one side's Vel, one side's Crow. It's not. The whole stuff is Velcro. Shabbos isn't part Shomer, part Zocher. It's Shomer Zocher. It's one idea. You can't remove Shomer from the Zocher, the Zocher from the Shomer. So much like Hashem didn't when he said it. Right? Nesochim, libations, are used as a reference to the positive act, not the negative thing of don't do this, as they're composed of wine and oil, which usually alludes to Kiddush and Neres Shabbos. The wine that we use in the libation refers to Kiddush, and the oil of the Korban Mincha refers to the Neres, these used to be full of olive oil over here, in this one of these ancient olive oil lighters, you put in olive oil, and the olive oil alludes to the fact that we'd use those for Neres Shabbos. That's why it's a positive concept, because something you've got to go out, and also the flour alludes to the Shabbos meals and the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. You're going to bake food with the flour. You're going to eat it. Look off at Shabbos Kiddush. So it's something you're going out your way to do. And that is a Zohar concept, right? The Magid Sedek says another thing. He says, Tikanta Shabbos, right at the beginning, means that Hashem gave a strong base. We talked about this word base last time, for the observance of Shabbos by designating a death penalty for those who desecrated it. Remember we said that, did I tell you about, one way to make sure that people really keep Shabbos? Saying if you don't do it, I'll kill you, right? That was what we learned last time. It's a very strong way to make sure people start earing up on the idea that they actually should possibly keep Shabbos, right? You commanded, Rotzisa Kubaraseha, the desecration of Shabbos liable to the death penalty, right? Now, what happened? There was a man, the Makosha, the person who went out gathering. He did the Av Malacha of what? What Malacha did he do on Shabbos? Yes, he went and gathered sticks. Which Malacha Madaraisa was he over?
It wasn't actually cutting them, it was picking, it was collecting them, wasn't it?
He was collecting them from the ground where they had fallen. So it was the gathering of an earthborn substance for the first time in its place is the Malacha Madaraisa of Mame. Gathering, which is Osa Madaraisa, Mame, right?
Mame.
Mm-hmm. Mame. Together. That's all he was doing. And then he did it in front of two witnesses. And then what happens? They killed him. Now, the one who desecrated Shabbos in the Midbar appears immediately after the Parsha of the Nesachim, of the libations. And it emphasizes the seriousness of Chilul Shabbos. Tzlofchad gave his life to show the seriousness of Shabbos transgression on purpose. He knew what he was doing. And he wanted, as it were, to commit legal suicide to up the level of Shmur Shabbos for everyone else once they see what happens when you break Shabbos. The whole thing of Tzlofchad giving, gathering up these things was right after the Nesachim. Was right after the Parsha where we learned about the Nesachim. So that's what it means. To come to Shabbos, you gave a good base regarding its Shabbos, and you commanded us regarding Shabbos with its Nesachecha, with its libations, because in the Torah, what came afterwards? You get killed if you don't do this.
Could it be in some way as well that he made himself a carbon, following the Parsha of the carbon? He himself was a carbon for...
And he did. It's illegal to do that, but he did. And he got into trouble, but he did. Yeah, okay. But that's not the Kabbalah that Hashem wants.
Did the people not believe that it would be policed? Because it was there very clearly that if you do that, we're going to kill you. So is he in as much sort of trying to show that the Beis Din had...
You've got to understand...
Had the guts to do it. What was he with me?
In those days, they just got Shabbos. And there's a big difference between you theoretically knowing something to you actually doing something about it on a practical basis. And he felt, as a kinoi, as a zealot, that people were simply not taking Shabbos seriously enough in his generation, and he was willing to die for it. Was he right to do that? No. We would definitely tell you, don't do it. You know, we'd say, open up Hilchos Shabbos Shirim and go through it. We wouldn't say, go and die publicly. But now that he did die like that, it really upped the ante, because everybody heard about it. It became part of the Torah. God said, record that forever. Now that he's done that, yeah, that has seriously, like in any institution, if someone gets, I don't know, in a school, and a kid doesn't do lines, and he gets caned in front of you for not doing them, that will certainly change the way you think, even though you know it's going to be plea. Yeah. When you see actual authority being taken out, or corporal punishment, guy getting flogged in the street for stealing something, you are going to think twice. Now, Ma'anageha la'aylam kavod yinchalu. Those who delight in it will inherit eternal honor. Wow. Those who merit it will merit life. Those who taste it, ta'ameya, chaim zachu. Those who enjoy its taste will have merited life. We've kind of left the concept of kabbonis and are starting to talk about the outcome of keeping Shabbos. Now notice, these words are also carefully crafted that they follow a reverse aleph base order. In some sidurim, they bold them. But to counter Shabbos, which is coming to say here, is going sof, shin, reish, kuf, tzadi, pei, ayin, samach, nun, mem, and it's reverse aleph base here. So this is a very special concept. We know that the Malachim write their tefillahs in an acrostic of an aleph base. This is a reverse aleph base building up to aleph. So certain letters are being, certain words rather, are being picked here because of the acrostic to fit with the sof aleph order, Z through A as it were, order, N through beginning order, that's got to fix to make this. Now some sidurim bold the first letters, so you should have kavana, you're travelling through the aleph base at this point. But many sidurim don't. Many people are unaware of the fact that this is actually going through an inverse 22 letter. Is your one bolded, each of the first letters? No.
Here they're bolded.
And it's like can I see it? Really, this is, okay, so let me just hold that up here. Yeah, oh, look at this. Yeah. Very nice. So can you see here, the first letter here is bolded, so you can see that it ends with the word Oz.
Yeah.
The word Oz is the Aleph, and Tikanta is the Sof. Can you see that? So it's a Sof through Aleph like a mini ashray is going on in here.
I was going to say ashray.
So it's right. So that's big stuff. So we need to keep in mind that there's a certain concept that we're trying to get in here. That it's. Can you see that? So the Rekayach, says that this phrase alludes to the fact that one who makes the Shabbos enjoyable merits an inheritance without boundary in Olam Haba. Hashem will literally open doors without physical end in Olam Haba for people that keep Shabbos. So if you keep Shabbos specifically by enduring it, you do things, owning Shabbos, I'm going to do this for Shabbos. The reward for that is inestimable, because B'li Mitzrayim Nachla, as the Zemar says, without any boundary is the reward. So if you keep Shabbos by enjoying it, that what you get out of that isn't physically describable. It's like some kind of infinite special thing that comes out of the enjoyment dafka of Shabbos. Obviously, there's got to be the keeping of the Shabbos physically, like you don't light fires and... But when you say, I'm going to do something to make Shabbos happy, Hashem is so over the top with that. Obviously, everything's got, you can't just do something for that and then go out to the football. So I'm going to go out to the football to really enjoy it. That's all very nice. get in the car and drive to the football. Lekovat Shabbos Kodesh. That's not okay, because that's not within the framework of the Shabbos laws. But within the framework of Shabbos laws, if you decide to set aside something specifically enjoyable for the Shabbos activity in order to give honor for Shabbos, the reward for that is inestimable.
Do you have to actually feel the enjoyment, or just the idea?
No. You got to enjoy it. Look off of Shabbos Kodesh. The word la'olam hints at the eternity of Olam Haba. That's why it says ma'angel la'olam kovad yinchalu. Thank you. Nice. That's what it means. Forever literally means la'olam means for eternity. Literally, you will get this for eternity, says the Rekayach. The Levush explains the word la'olam forever. He says it totally differently. He says in all instances. In all instances, a very different knach. In all instances, one who makes Shabbos enjoyable at all, even slightly, as the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Yud Ches Omad Beis, the Gemara Shabbos page 118b, says, the one who can only afford to add the leafy head of a clove of garlic to his Shabbos menu, that's all the money he's got, the stuff that the greengrocer cuts away and puts in the bin. All he can afford is the offcuts of a salad. But if he takes that and says, this is the Kofet Shabbos Kodesh, he has merited into the La'olam forever. He says it doesn't matter, and it's not about value.
Yeah.
If you're doing your best that you can to enjoy my Shabbos as much as you can, you've tapped into that infinity and you will get it. It's not about the fact I've got to have fatted calves for Shabbos. Now, if you can afford fatted calves, and that's what's going to get you kick out of it, dafka, that's what you should do. If you can afford fatted calves, and all you do is take the leafy head of a clove of garlic, say, this is for God, that's kind of rude. That's kind of insulting, saying, hey, God, you have this. That's what Cain did.
Yeah.
Cain gave of his worst part and gave that to Hashem, said, that's the mice, and I'll have the rest. Hevel gave of his best. Now, he gave it wrong. It was all for COVID, etc. But Hashem turned to that and said, at least people will learn what it is you've got to do. You've got to give the shpitz to me. Well, that's why if you have two things for a mitzvah, you use the better thing for the mitzvah. A lower grade wine and a higher grade wine, you should use the better grade wine for Kiddush. You should, if the best of what you have should be designated for mitzvah performance to increase its honor and its enjoyment. You should enjoy it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, okay, that's that. That's what it means in all instances. It doesn't matter how you do it, but you're in. La'olam means any which way you use it, you're in. Okay, back to the Rekayach. He says, now, what does it mean, to'amei ha'chaim zochu? If you really translate this directly, it's a bit weird. To'amei ha'chaim zochu. I'm going to just translate word for word. This is not how we translate in Art Scroll. This is like strict kind of Oxford... It actually means, this is not in context, but it's
Oxford Hebrew.
Yeah, Oxford Hebrew Sonsino et al, right? To'ameha chaim zochu literally means those who taste her will merit life. That's literally what it means. Those who taste her. To'ameha means the taste of her. Her taste. We're referring to Shabbos in the feminine. Those who taste Shabbos will merit life.
Why do you refer to Shabbos as family?
That's what I'm asking. Why do you want to refer to Shabbos as family? Because it is. There's a concept that she's our bride and we're married to her, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu set her aside as a mate for us over. Why am I saying, what's the taste? Why is it I've got, how can you taste Shabbos? Food. I know, now we've all heard the Uncle Moshe song. Uncle Moshe in the Mitzvah song. Chalent is the magic ingredient. It's the Shabbos itself. Chalent, the magic ingredient is the Shabbos itself. That's what we're learning with Antoninus and Rebbe. Antoninus once turned over to Rebbe. Rebbe gave him some food. He goes, oh, this is some great food. Came back the next time and he goes, have you got any more of that food? So he gave him some food. He goes, no, it doesn't taste good. He goes, no, you know why? The previous food I gave you was food I set aside for Shabbos. When you set aside food for Shabbos, the Shabbos itself enhances the taste of food in a way no Gentile cook can. The Gemara says no Goyish cook can make the taste of a food that has been set aside for Shabbos. There's something infused in that food which is special, the Kovach Shabbos Kodesh. And Antoninus said, well, how come it doesn't taste the same? It was the same potatoes and everything. He goes, ah, oh, that was the Kovach Shabbos Kodesh. Next time, if you want to have that, you've got to have some actual, you've got to have some cholent. Right? When it means those who taste it, it means those who taste the special taste of Shabbos that is reserved for the foods you set aside for the deliciousness of Shabbos. Those who taste it will marry life. That's an amazing concept. Mamish, we're talking food. Ensure food is tasted. That's why you should taste Shabbos food, Erev Shabbos. There's such an idea, like a mitzvah to do that, to make sure it doesn't, it's, could you imagine? Like you put, someone puts vinegar in the soup. You taste it, it tastes all vinegary, right, whatever, something like that. And you serve that on Shabbos, it's disgusting, people will turn their plates away. You're demeaning the honour of Shabbos here. Forget the fact that it's impolite. Forget the fact that the cook may get embarrassed. That's irrelevant now. Shabbos is not being honoured. The key of all this is to honour Shabbos. So taste the food, make sure it's really yum. Oh, this is particularly good. Add in a special spice, saffron or something really good. Just! Lekov for Shabbos Kodesh, to make sure you got the spitz for Shabbos. Why? Because that's how you get into this. That's Tomei Chaim Zochel. You want to earn the concept of Chai Olam Haba, make the taste in your tasty food for Shabbos. Do something physical in the physical world. Notice Buddhists and Jains and things like that, they mummies strip off and they sit under a waterfall and they go om and they completely divorce themselves from the physical world as much as is possible. And that's their only way to break out of this cycle of this world. That's how they see it, right? We say there's no other way to get close to Kodesh Baruch Hu except for utilizing physicality. There's no other way. That's the tool he's given us to do it. So use it well. That's what the mitzvahs are about, guarding physicality. The Yerushalmi says that it's necessary to prevent one from discovering on Shabbos the food is not tasty, not only because it doesn't honor Shabbos, but you might get angry at your wife or your maid or your cook on Shabbos, which would cause an argument, and break the shalom of Shabbos, which is very, very important. We only light candles on Shabbos for shalom. The candles themselves are kind of irrelevant. Technically, you could make the brachos on electric candles. You can't do that with Hanukkah. Hanukkah, you need a flame. Nothing else will do. On Shabbos, you need lights. Why? For shalom. You don't have to even have light. One light is good enough. Doesn't have to be two.
You could put a normal light on.
Yes, and you can make brachos in a pinch. You could look at, if you're in a pinch, you don't have any proper regular things, you could turn them off, make a brocha, and turn them on. You can do that in a hospital, in a pinch, phone your rov, what to do. Now there's a Shila, different kinds of lights, LED versus fluorescent versus halogen. Halogen are the best because it's mamish like aish. It's almost exactly like halogen with a filament is mamish aish. So you can do that, look at, with a brocha. What to do regarding fluorescence and LED, phone your rov. There's a difference of opinion. Is that aish? Is it not aish? What to do with it? Does it matter? Etc. It's a light. That's a separate. Hanukkah doesn't work like that. Shabbos, why do we light lights? It engenders happiness. It makes shalom. Don't bump into things. Don't get angry. The point is Hashem wants you to be happy on Shabbos. Shabbos is a time which he has set aside to you have a mitzvah to be happy. It's hard to do that when you've got, by the way, whenever you're given a mitzvah to do something, you've got to get to Har not to do it. Now, during a Tuesday, we've got no mitzvah to be happy. I'm happy. Saturday, someone puts a gun in your head. Happy, I'm going to kill you. Yeah, it's a horror. Yeah, it's a horror, right? So then you're like, you've got to now go out of your way to make yourself happy because it's a Yetzirah not to be happy on Saturdays. So light up the lights, get your best clothes out, get your best dishes out, have your best whiskies, have your best food, enjoy it, be with your friends, get out to get, do something that engenders happiness. Why? Because the happiness is key. I'm telling you to go do it because I want you to be happy on Shabbos. One of the reasons we have to taste the food is not so much because the food itself won't make us happy, which is true. But the second thing is we might get into an argument. How could you leave the soup on so long, Etel? What's going on with you? And you start having an argument on Shabbos. The Machzor Vitri says that one who tastes Shabbos food before Shabbos merits having the days and years of his life extended.
So what? Before, if you
taste before on Thursday, Thursday night, Friday morning, taste the food. Is the fish good? Going to have a Richas Yomim. Wah! Rav Hirt Shutt says that one's required to taste every single dish you prepare for Shabbos before Shabbos, including the cholent. You've got to taste everything to make sure it's okay.
And it's
the concept is now that you're involving yourself in making sure Shabbos is good, you're utilizing all your physicality correctly, you should have more days. Because every single one of those pieces of food is going to turn into a mitzvah. So make sure they're good. Just like you would check a lulav or an esrog or a shofar before you would use it. And before you put on tzitzis, you're meant to check. It's got 8 strings, 5 knots, and the knots are okay. You should check them. Why are you doing that? You're about to do a mitzvah. That's what you're doing. You make sure it's kosher. You can't just put that on. If you wear an arba kanfus, a four-corner garment, without correct tzitzis on, it's an aveira midoraisa. You have to take that thing off. You're not allowed to wear an arba kanfus without kosher tzitzis on. So check the tzitzis kosher. We always check mitzvahs before doing them. So all the food becomes the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, which we learn out is linked to the nesachecha, the libations, which are like the wine, which is the happiness and the joy. You've got to treat them like a nesach. You've got to treat them like these libations, which are additional to the main korban of Shabbos itself, the main korban being, for us, Shomer V'Zocher, the keeping of the rules, and the Zocher bit being the libation, which is the making it really enjoyable. The Eitz Yosef says that the honor that comes to those who make Shabbos enjoyable refers to the fact that one may only rely upon Hashem to repay debts he incurs to enable him to do it for Shabbos. Because you know that every single penny you're spending for Shabbos, you're getting back. It does not come out of your Rosh Hashanah budget. Whatever money Hashem sets aside for you on Rosh Hashanah, that's your money to use as you see fit. Shabbos, that's on his tab. Which means you're always guests of Hashem on Shabbos.
And Yom Tov.
So we said that's last time when it means it's Hashem's Shabbos. His food, it's his food, by the way. You're technically at his table, because he's paying. You see, you're sitting at his table. You think it's your food, it's not your food. It's on God's tab, excuse me. He's paying for that. He'll get that back. That you don't pay for. You're doing it for him, he'll pay. He's got the money to pay, he's fine, he's a very rich king, he can do it. Okay, the money you're setting aside for him, you get back. The money set aside for your burgers on Tuesday is your burgers on Tuesday. The money you set aside for his burgers on Saturday, that's on his tab. So you're technically sitting at Hashem's table. As we've discussed, money for Shabbos and Yom Tov doesn't come from the Rosh Hashanah account, but a larger tranche of funds that Hashem sets aside specifically for those reasons, which goes on top of whatever it is he sets aside for you on Rosh Hashanah. The Levush says that all those who observe Shabbos merit basking in the enjoyment of Hashem's presence. That's what it means, that you will literally taste life if you taste Shabbos. You will know what life means when you're next to Hashem. The Gros points out that only those who enjoy Shabbos specifically merit this particular reward, are not those who eat and drink for their own pleasure. The Gros adds that only those who observe Shabbos and gain an Neshama Yaseira can taste the spiritual enhancement that God gives to the physical food. We talked about Antoninus and Rebbe, and Antoninus could taste the difference between food that was prepared for Shabbos and something else that was missing from it, some kind of additional tam. But a person who gets a Neshama Yaseira on Shabbos, which is a Jew who's keeping Shabbos, that's doing that, is able to delve into something special into that food which no one else can. And that in and of itself is a merit. If you've welcomed your neshama, and you say, you know, when does Shabbos really kick in? When do the laws of Shabbos come? If you haven't been mekabel them earlier, and you just go to shul as normal, when do you get your neshama yisera? Nearly.
No.
Oh, when Kabbalat Shabbat?
Yeah.
Bori v'shalom. Ateres Bala, at the end of Lecha Doidi, just before Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbos. So just as you're bending, you turn round and you bend over to welcome in the Shabbos. As you turn, laws of Shabbos are on you right at that moment. Everything. Everything's on you from that moment in. If you've not been Mekabela earlier already, and you're in a time zone where that makes sense, you're not making it up and saying L'chadudi now. If it's Friday night in Shul and you're doing that, all the laws of Shabbos are on you as you say the last part of L'chadudi. That's when you're literally welcoming Shabbos. That's it. You are bound by the laws. All things become muktzah. Everything's on until Havdalah. Okay, Shabbos, jink, Shabbos has been activated until Havdalah deactivates it. Okay, that's when you get activity to Neshama Yisera. That's when it kicks in. That's when you've got the laws on you. The concept of Hilchos Shabbos is chal upon you at that moment. The Magid Tzedek differentiates between the two parts, explaining that the sages who actually understand the depth of Shabbos enjoyment receive an eternal honor as a reward. But even simple folk who only taste Shabbos peripherally without fully comprehending it still merit life. Let's look at that. Those who delight in it will inherit an eternal honor. Those are the Chachamim. That's what the Magid Tzedek says. Well, those who can just get a geschmack, just get a taste, they'll still get life. They'll still get something special. But it's not going to be the eternal honor of someone that understands the depth of Shabbos. So he's limiting that. Do you see that? That's the first time we've said something like that, where instead of like a blanket gift, as it were, Mangela Olam Kavod Yincholu is for the elite. Ta'amea Chaim Zochu is for the common folk. Now, what changes you from being elite to common folk is your depth of understanding and, most importantly, appreciation of Shabbos. If you know it's Shabbos and this is what you've got to do and that's that and we got together, it's lovely, then that's Tomei Chaim Zochu, according to the Magid Tzedek. Those who are mamish going into the Umkus, Shabbos, mamish, such a special, amazing time spiritually, physically, those who are Mangeh Olam Kavod Yincholu, those individuals who are getting so much more out of it, that's the key you're going to be able to turn in Olam Haba, to get so much more out of it in Olam Haba. Because you're getting so much more out of it here, that's the key you use there. All you've got to use there, the keys you make here. The keys you make here are key. If you just get a light geschmack here, you get a light geschmack key there. If you get a really heavy, deep concept here, you get a really heavy, deep concept there. It's all translatable into Olam Haba currency. However much you open your consciousness and your mind to be able to appreciate Hashem in this world, is however much you're able to open your consciousness and mind to appreciate Hashem in the next world. Someone who does a lot here will get a lot there. Someone who does a little bit here gets a little bit there. It makes sense. It's midah keneged midah. Do you get that? It makes sense, right? The Chofetz Chaim says, kovod will be merited in Olam Haba, but not in this world. Kovod is a dangerous thing. Rav Yosef, Zochat Salav Rocha, used to say, one thing you should be very difficult and dangerous to you in this world is kovod. How would you define kovod? Someone gives you a kovod. What's he giving you?
A massage to the ego.
A massage to the ego. That's a beautiful definition. But what that really is... I could massage your ego without giving you covered. There are many ego massages. Flattery, possibly, or agreeing with you when I don't agree with you. A real covered, I ask you to go have a special aliyah or something like that, and everyone's, Shira Siyam or something big, you know. What exactly is that? Can we just analyse that for once?
Humility.
No. It's not a lack of humility. What is it? He's not being a grandite. What is it when he's walking up to get that aliyah? What exactly is happening?
He's feeling good, isn't he?
It's a good feeling, I'll give you that. What is this? It's not like being tickled on the feet. It's not like eating custard. It's not like going on a roller coaster. It's a different kind of thing. It's a very psychological thing. What exactly is the feeling of receiving that honour?
A kind of satisfaction.
Like a kind of respect.
Yeah, it's frankly very difficult to put into words. I think we'll consult and say it's not easy to put into words. Yeah. Says Rav Avadya Yosef, because it's hardly able even to really describe it properly, it's the most close thing we can understand by the feeling in Olam Haba. The feeling of Olam Haba, more than anything else, he says, Rav Avadya Yosef says, is the feeling of kovod. Yeah. It's a certain distinction, elevation, specialness, justifiable position, It's all those things. It's a feeling. You know what I mean? That's going to be... I'm in Alamar Bar. I'm close to Hashem. Oh.
Beautiful. That feeling.
I have to turn that off, please. Now, what's really important about this? What's important about this is as follows. The more covered you experience here, the more you're eating into your account there. Because covered more than anything else eats into your next account because it's the closest thing you got to it. So he says, that's why you should run away from covered. He says, the real money is in covered. Because that's as close. If someone pays you tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of covered hair, that technically could eat into tons and tons and tons of covered hair. Because remember, you've only got what you've got.
That's why people want it.
Well, that's true. It's a very desirable trait to feel that kind of feeling. But don't run after covered. Because anyone that runs after covered, everyone else doesn't respect. That's a very interesting concept. Someone else sees running after covered, no one gives him covered. That's a very unusual thing. Very unusual concept in life. People running after chesed, people don't say, oh, I don't respect him. In fact, they respect him more. If you see someone running up to do chesed, or running to do kibbud av ha'aim, it inspires you to do the same. Running to learn Torah. I'd like to do that too. I honour that. Running after honour, which is the outcome of it, I don't honour him. It's the only thing where someone running after something desirable like that is actually the exact opposite of what you would want. To teach us, you should run away from it.
There's not.
Do you hear the point?
Yeah.
So Rav Avadya Yosef says, be very careful about honour. When it says, ma'ana geha la'aylam kavod yinchalu, those who delight in it will inherit an eternal honour, that eternal honour cannot be in this world. Because any honour you get here is not eternal. It is a temporary, transient, temporal experience which comes and goes and frankly leaves you with nothing. After you get knighted, I got the freedom of the City of London.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was, thank you. So I was awarded the freedom of the City, and so you go to London and you have this ceremony and they give you a little book and a thing, and now I'm a freeman of London, right? So it's a bit, and now what? Technically, I could lead my sheep over London Bridge without paying a toll, but I've been told thoroughly by the police that if I do that, I'll actually get fined for making a public disturbance. Because people do it every so often. They actually do it to exercise their right of taking their kit, right? It's a very interesting thing behind it, why you become, because my dad is a freeman and all that, very big thing. What does it actually give you? Goodness, you come away free, so what? So what? I covered in this world is transient. And when it goes, you've got no calorific output from it. It's not filled your tummy. It's given you nothing. Let's say you have a steak and you walk out. You walk out of the steak and you feel absolutely stuffed. You've got the sensation of a relief from hunger and a sensation of satiation. And you've got that for maybe hours, especially with a big steak, right? You walk out of a room after someone's knighted you or something like that. Everyone was like, sword goes, and that's it. That's it. That's the end of it. It's literally gone. After you've come away from the Aliyah, you've had your Aliyah, and everyone's shaking your hand. That's it. That's it. It's like a flash of a moment. The honour in Olam Haba will not be a flash, which is why we have to say La Olam Kovod Yinchalu. That's extremely unusual. Because covered is not something we've ever experienced on a long-term basis. It's a moment, a transient flash, which comes and it goes. Not so the covered of Olam Haba that is generated from covered Shabbos. It's a different kind of experience as the covered time, which can't be experienced there. You don't understand what it means. It's a long-term, permanent manifestation of covered, which never leaves you. And that feeling stays with you. Here, covered is by itself something you're chasing because you don't have it now. Because it goes. The second you get it, it goes. It's a very important thing. Just as a kugel is reserved for Shabbos, so too honour is a delicacy which is reserved for Olam Haba. Because spiritual honour, which is what we're referring to here, either for everyone or just for the elite, as we've discussed, is at the outcome a relationship level with a Bira Olam. And it's not for this world, where honour is always a self-centred barrier between you and God. The more honourable a person sees himself as, the less willing he's willing to bend over to be close to Hashem. You've got to subjugate yourself. The more honor you have, the more times you have to bow in the Shemona Esrei. A regular person bows four times, a Kohen Gadol every single bracha. A king, get on the floor. Get on the floor and stay there. You can get up at Osa Shalom. See, he's like on the floor. Why? Because he's got another problem. He's got a covered problem. Covered usually is a huge iron Kevlar bulletproof plate between you and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's just like something that keeps you away from him. The only time you're going to get close to him is by removing the honor. In which case, how can Olam Haba be any honor at all if it's stuff that generally self-aggrandizes you and keeps you away from Hashem? Answer is, this is an Olam Haba ticket honor. This is a special cover that is reserved for Olam Haba. It is similar to the honor we have here, but that's the honor that's going to come to you for keeping Shabbos. It's a special kind of covered which does not exist in this felt. It's similar to this felt's covered, but it's permanent and it doesn't drive you away from Hashem. It drives you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means. Those who delight in it, delight in the Shabbos, will get an eternal covered, which doesn't exist because covered is all a momentary flash. They're not going to inherit that. What does inherit mean? Not in this world. You can't get that in this world. The Amar Chaim Zochu, that lower level where you get a geschmack of Shabbos, so you can get a geschmack of Olam Haba, that's a low level. You can tuck and get tastes. Tastes you can get in this world too. I.e. it's a lower order of revelation and therefore reward. Amazing, is it? It's amazing when you break down these words. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 words in. We've got 16 words in. The next words are, it's amazing. Vagam ha'ehavim dovreha. Those who love its items, its things, will choose greatness. That is, I think, should do it now, do it later. Do it now, do it now.
No.
We're not leaving. Okay, fine. Let's do that. 17, 18, we can do 20 words then. Tonight we can get 20 words done. It's quite a lot, actually. The Rekeach says, this refers to one who loves Hilchus Shabbos. That's what it means. If you have a look at the translation, what does it mean? It says, those who savour it will merit life, and those who love the speech that befits it. That's Artscroll's translation, quite different from the actual words. I've chosen a question. What's the speech? Hilchus Shabbos. Obviously not talking about business meetings is what that seems to be referring to, but the Rekeach says, one who loves Hilchus Shabbos and observes Shabbos out of a love and not under duress, the merits that kind of merit gets is the greatness of Gutla itself. If you love Shabbos because you posh it, love Shabbos rather than, oh, I can't, no, it's Saturday, I better keep Shabbos here because... Rather than, there's another chance to avoid Mameh and Mesach and Osa Shtei Botin Nirin and Mabed and, it'll be careful about how you put salt on a salad because a Mabed is a tanning. So you have to do it one by one. You can't do it en masse. You can't sprinkle salt over a salad because it's like tanning processes and the tanning becomes from the hides and the hides with the urea to the Mishkan. Oh, I love it. Rather than, Shabbos is such a hassle. I can't even salt my egg. Right. It depends how you see it. It's true. You can't. It's true. What's this Chazal coming along making your life hard with how you sort your salad? Can't let us do anything. All this bunch of prohibitions. Oh, no. And I can't turn on my light. Oh, no, I can't be on my phone. Oh, no, I've got to be careful how I open and shut drawers and sort things in it. Oh, no. Or every single thing now is an opportunity of God conscience. Hashem has now said, where you spit the strawberry pip out from between your teeth, onto your garden or onto your decking, becomes an act of love between him and you. Because if you spit it onto the garden, that's going to be a problem of Zariah, of seeding. While you spit it onto the decking or the patio, it's fine because it can't germinate there. And you're thinking of the fact that a Kodesh Baruch Hu seeded the universe. It depends on your outlook. That's what it means, love. V'gam ha'yahavim, those who love it. Love is an outlook towards something. Do you love it or not? Are you really into it? Is what it's saying. I'm sorry to use the common fact. That's basically those who are really into it. They're going to get greatness. They've chosen greatness. Because if you're really into Shabbos and you enter Shabbos because you want to be there, that is a fantastic amount of reward. Rav Hirschad says that the greatness alluded to here is the reward in Olam Haba that the Gemara teaches will be granted to those who observe Shabbos. There's a special Shabbos, and he brings a story. I don't know if you're interested. Do you want to hear a story? Yeah. Most people want to hear stories. So there's a story brought in Gemara Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yutes, 119 Omad Aleph. These are stories. It's a story brought in the Gemara about people that honored Shabbos. Here's some stories. Yosef Mokir Shabbos, which literally means Yosef, the one who honors Shabbos, had a non-Jew in his neighborhood who was exceedingly wealthy. And the astrologers told this non-Jew that all of his wealth would fall into the hands of Yosef Mokir Shabbos. And he was scared. That Jew's going to get all my money. So what did he do? To avoid the eventuality, the non-Jew sold every single one of his possessions. With the proceeds, he purchased a huge, giant jewel, knacker of an emerald, and he put it in his hat. He put it in his hat to decorate his hat. And one day the wind blew, the hat fell off, and it fell into a river. And a fish ate the jewel. And Yosef Makir Shabbos went. He decided to spend a little bit extra on a nice big fish for Shabbos. He thought, oh, don't go Shabbos. And I gutted that fish, and inside was this gem. And he said he wouldn't have got it unless he'd have pushed himself to spend more than he really could have. He felt as if, oh, it's a bit much, a whole salmon. I'll just get cutlet. Nah, I'll do the whole salmon, do the whole thing, get the whole thing. Got the whole thing, and inside was this gem that this guy had been hiding from him the whole time. I.e., it's because he was honouring Shabbos. That was story one. Story two. Rav Chiya bar Abba said that he was a guest at a person in a town called Lutkia. And they brought before him a golden table that required 16 people to carry it. That's how big and gold-plated this table was. 16 chains of silver decorated it. And plates and cups and bowls were set into it, containing all kinds of foods, delicacies, and spices. When the table was placed down, the people would recite LaHashem Ha'aretz Menoyah, Hashem owns the earth and all that it contains, and to heal him. When it was removed, they say, Hashemayim Shemayim LaHashem Ha'aretz Nasan Livnei Adam, the heavens belong to God, and the earth he gave to human beings. That's Tehillim 115:15. We see to the extent people used to go to honor Shabbos. We don't have people around generally today that really push the boat out at that level for Shabbos in the times of Gemara. They would literally push the boat, like in the most opulent way. The truth is, if someone were to do that today, we would confuse it for opulence. To a point of what I would say is probably ostentatiousness, where it's a little bit, you know, self-aggrandizing. But in those days, they would do things that we would say were ostentatious purely for Kavod Shabbos. They would literally put it the whole week. I had a Sephardic Rebbe who came from Bombay, which is now Mumbai. And he says everyone would always try to find a fruit to say Shechanu over on Shabbos, not just to increase the number of brachas one makes, because one has less brachas to make on Shabbos, but Lakovat Shabbos Kodesh, the whole week they're looking for stuff for Shabbos. They're gathering things from the shops, from the markets, whatever they buy one little thing in their extra basket, and that's for Shabbos. And that's their entire thought. That's how he grew up. The entire thought is, and that's for Shabbos. And they look at every single day. And then they put all those things they got from the week out on the table for Shabbos. Ah, that's great. That was the Kavod Shabbos Kodesh. We tend not to do that so much. But if you do that correctly, that is that is showing that you love it. Loving it is another level. Those who mamish love it, gadula b'chor, you've chosen greatness. The kind of designation that a Kodesh Baruch Hu will give to such a person in the next world is a very high level of greatness. Shabbos is a tremendous way into the Borei Olam. That is a day when, you know what it's like? It's like you work 6 days a week for money, but one day a week your boss will pay you in actual gold. Not in like money that goes to Barclays, like actual gold bars. Only one day a week. That one day a week is Shabbos. Whatever you do on that day gets turned into the most unbelievable commodities. Literally actual gold. There's only one day a week because he's feeling good on that day. So if you work for him on that day, so how do you work for Hashem on that day? Set it aside for him. That's how to work for Hashem. Put some special sweets aside. And enjoy it. You can't sit there like glum. Enjoy. Oh, these sweets are awesome. The whiskey's brilliant. Charlotte's awesome, special cut of meat. Oh, amazing. Set it aside for Shabbos. Because what that's going to turn into you is going to be literally eternal, which is something you cannot get anywhere else during the 6 days of the week. But boys, I hope you have the most amazing week.
Thank you.
And the most